It is our privilege to present this message from Reverend Ray Vanderlaan as part of the Shephelah Project of That the World May Know Ministries. Our purpose is to call God's people to a passionate obedience, living for Him in such a way as to have a significant impact for God in the world. May you be encouraged as you listen to Ray present this message from the Word of God.
I'd ask you to stand if you would, please. It's traditional in the Jewish world when you come to the text and God will speak that you commit your heart to Him. Be born again, the rabbis often said or say. They use the words of Deuteronomy 6 or 11 or 14, which they call Shema. Let's identify with our ancient brothers and sisters, the Jewish folks, as Jesus would have done, and use this morning the words of Shema before God speaks to us. I'll say the Hebrew, and then let's say the English together. In Hebrew, it would sound like this. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheicha, v'chol levavcha, uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol me'odecha. Amen. Say the English with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Amen. Say that once more, but remember that what you say comes from the bottom of your soul. If you're a follower of Jesus, a child of God, there is nothing more important to you in the whole world than to declare that you want to and plan to try to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and the passion in your soul should become the passion in your voice. Say the English again with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Amen. Amen. Hear this morning the very words of God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her hard service has been accomplished, that her sins have been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the desert. In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, make straight a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every hill and mountain be made low, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see this. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken these words. A voice says, cry out! And I say, but what shall I cry? All humanity is like the grass, and their glory like the flowers. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is forever. These are the very words of God from the book of Isaiah chapter 40. I'd ask you to say these words after me from the Christian Testament. First from Paul. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? They have been entrusted with the very words of God. And then from Peter, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. These are the very words of God. Amen. Please sit down. We called our conference the Jewish Roots of the Christian Faith, an enormous subject. If someone said, summarize it for me in 20 words or less, I would say, recognizing that the Bible is filled with pictures, and that those pictures are the very words of Almighty God. I think that would summarize what Jewish roots are about. Learning to read the Bible to see its pictures. Because Eastern people love pictures. God is a rock. God is water. God has eagle's wings. God is a father. God is like a nursing mother. God gathers his children like a hen gathers her chicks. All pictures. God tastes like honey. God smells like meat roasting on the altar. The Bible loves pictures. And often we in the West miss the pictures to get the information. But all those pictures, all of those delightful ways of understanding God and what he has done and who we are and what he can do on our behalf in Jesus, come in these words, this book. What I would like to do for just a few moments this morning from the Word of God, from the pictures of the culture, is to give you one more picture. Maybe you're familiar with it already. I was not till recently. That will add another window that you can gaze into to see the power of God's pictures and what he has done on our behalf. I've called it this morning 67 years or forever. Which is it? 67 years or forever. Which is it? Isaiah says, cry out! The word of the Lord is forever! But that verse comes in the form of a picture. Because in that verse, in that passage, excuse me, it says, these are the very words of God. Now, the ancient language word for the very words of God is the word oracle. We don't use it much, although it's in the NIV about 50 times. It was in the King James, I believe, more than 100, if my memory serves me correctly. But it's not a commonly used English word. But throughout the Bible, the writers called the words they got from God to pass on to the listeners and the readers, they called those words oracles. The NIV translates the word oracle as the very words of God. I'd like to give you a picture this morning of what an oracle was, because these words are called oracles. And that's a picture of something in the culture. It's not just a word. It's not just a nice way of describing the power of God speaking. Oracle was something that those people knew well. So I need you to come with me to a place called Asia. If we could dim these lights just enough so that these pictures will make an impact. I'd love to take you there. I can't do that this morning, so let me do it in your mind. We'll go to a place along the Mediterranean, the Aegean Sea, called Didyma. In the ancient world, there were five major places called oracles. So when the people read the Bible and God said, these are the oracles of God, they knew what an oracle was. They had a picture because there was one nearby, no matter where you live. I'd like to take you to the largest one that existed in the ancient world. So come with me. There's a paved road that runs for miles and miles and miles to get there. You begin to feel the power of what this oracle must have been just by the work and effort that it took to build the road. As you approach, the place is unbelievable. Now, there's a little bit of a risk in what I'm doing this morning, because for those of you that have been there, you understand when you first walk up there, it takes your breath away. I don't know if the pictures will do that or not, partly because I'm not such a great photographer, and partly because there's a big difference between seeing a picture sitting here and actually standing there. But I want you to feel the power of what the place was. It was the second largest temple in the world. You could easily have put three of these church auditoriums in the building. Easily. Three of them in a row. It's that size, all made of stone, cut from a local quarry. The columns stood as high as the peak of the ceiling here at the very highest point. Above it, the roof. It was a stunning building that you could see for miles and miles and miles. And as you walk up, it dawns on even the slowest among us, this oracle thing was a big deal. You don't build a building like this with stones that weigh 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 tons apiece brought from miles away unless what you're building represents something absolutely enormous. The length of the building is considerably more than the length of a football field. The columns themselves, let me show you, besides the beauty of the columns, look at the size of the base of these columns. And there are more than 140 of them in the building. 140 columns that three of us standing fingertip to fingertip could not get our arms around. And the columns as high as the peak of this ceiling. 140 of them. And you stand there in this forest of columns saying, what kind of a deal was this oracle business? It was unbelievable. Look at the size. Look at the power. Look at the glory of what these people created here. Unreal. All in ruins today, of course. The inside where the priestess actually lived itself, you could easily put this church auditorium under the roof. Stunningly huge. Now, whether or not you feel that power, I at least invite you to understand that for them, the oracle was a big deal. They spent 200 plus years building this place. It stood for more than 1,000 years as a testimony to the power of an oracle. Now, what's an oracle? Well, the word can mean three things. An oracle is a place. So what I just showed you is called the Oracle of Didyma. The oracle is the person who's going to be at the place, the priestess. She's called the oracle. The oracle is also what the priestess is going to say. So the oracle is words. But one thing about oracle that I'd like to have you know before I show you real quickly how you got an oracle at the oracle from the oracle. You get an oracle. You get the words in response to a question. When the Bible says these are the oracles of God, the assumption is that people like you and me, the readers, are asking tough questions. Because oracles come when you ask questions. I wonder sometimes whether we undermine God's intent for oracles because we don't come to this book with our deepest questions, let alone our surface questions. We ask those of the pastor or the expert or the TV psychologist or psychiatrist. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those folks. Obviously, they're gifted by God to do what they do. But if it's an oracle, God expects you to be asking tough questions. So let's imagine we want to come for an oracle. Now, you'll have to, for a couple of moments, assume that we're pagan folks. I hate to even do that on a Sunday morning in church, but to feel the power of this, imagine we've walked 900 miles to get the oracle. The temple is the temple of the god Apollo, because Apollo was believed to be able to go down into the underworld, Hades, where the secrets of God were kept. And he would go down into Hades, and he would learn the information that would answer your tough questions. He would pass that on to his priestess. For some reason, the oracles were always women, with one exception that we know of. And that priestess would get the information from the underworld, and she could then answer your question. So we've arrived at this stunning place after 900 miles of walking. We've come as an entire family, because we've had a recurring illness or a recurring problem in our family, and we want to ask Apollo, why is this that we suffer so much? Did we do something wrong? Is there something we... It's a big deal to us. So we come and we approach. First, we come to the well, the sacred well. The priest who stands nearby draws water and we wash ourselves, for we have to be holy and pure as we come to the god. Then we wash the lamb that we've carefully carried for 900 miles because one must come with a sacrifice. And after washing, we step over to the altar. Only the foundation is left, but we step over to the altar. The priest ritually kills the lamb, takes certain parts of it and places it on the fire, and then cuts the liver out of the animal. And using a little model, many of which have been found, with certain holes in certain places on the model, he compares the liver to the model of a liver. And if there's a spot here, he puts a pin here. And if there's a vein here, he puts a pin here. And if there's some discoloration, he puts a pin there. And after looking, he decides, based on the liver of the sacrifice, whether the God will hear our question or not. We're nervous, uptight. What if Apollo doesn't want to hear our question? What if he won't give us an answer? Not only have we walked 900 miles for nothing, and we have to go back, but we'll never know. But for us, the liver says, he will speak. So we climb the stairs of this unbelievable temple, and we stand in front of the great door in the background. Now, I couldn't find a picture over the week, unfortunately, that really does justice to this. But that door is bigger in width than this space between the corner here of the pier and the corner here of the pier. That door is bigger than this. And I would guess it was at least as high as the bottom of the stained glass window. And probably made of wood, about 6 inches thick, covered with polished bronze. It weighed tons on hinges like watch band pins on the end. And so we stand nervously among these gigantic columns because we are going to come face to face with God. And after several hours or weeks or days, one Caesar spent 18 months waiting for the door to open. The door swings open. Listen to the sound of the creaking of this gigantic door as it slowly swings open. Boom! It hits against the stop. And in the opening stands the priest of Apollo. God will hear your question! And one of us, maybe the senior member of the entourage, nervously asks, why do we suffer? The priest, the god Apollo, will answer your question. And the door swings shut. Boom! What will the gods say? If we could go inside, we would note that the priest went down a narrow tunnel. We couldn't go there, of course. Inside this gigantic structure where there was a small temple at one end, you see the foundation of it. In that temple was the oracle, an old woman, or at least she looked so. She would sit and listen to the question. And then if you look carefully, you see some stairs that go down, 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 way down into the ground, maybe as much as two stories, into this dreary, dark, dismal cave. When she got to the bottom, she would ingest a white powder called opium. And soon she would be high. And as she sat in this dreary place, high from the opium, she would wait for a revelation from Apollo. It might take a week. It might take a month. It took Caesar 18 months. But eventually, in her trance, she would interpret what she was hearing or thinking or feeling as the word of God. Was it real? You can debate that endlessly. Can't imagine something this big that was there for 1,000 years with hundreds of thousands of people coming every year. If it never worked, was it demonic? Maybe. I don't know. It couldn't have been all a hoax, but that doesn't matter this morning. At last, she has her answer from Apollo. And the word comes to those of us who wait that she will climb the stairs and the door in the distance will open and we stand on the other side. And there we stand. We've been there for hours, for days, for weeks. What will God, Apollo, say? And then, one morning, the trumpet blows, and slowly the door swings open. Boom! And we stand, shaking, as the priest makes his way. These are the very words of Apollo, the oracle. You have sinned against his deity. You must make sacrifice, give gifts, seek a more pure lifestyle. And then Apollo will take your disease away. Boom! The door goes shut. So what do you feel? You feel awe that God has spoken? Do you feel what these pagan people would have thought as that door creaked open and then it slammed shut? Did your knees shake because Apollo is just beyond the door and the words that are spoken are the very words of God? If you were a pagan, feel the power of the oracle. Why doesn't this do the same thing to us? Why is it that when we stand and say the very words of God, our knees don't shake? Why don't we tremble? Is this any less? Come with me in your mind. Step up to one of these columns. Put your hands on it. You know what the inscription that they found here says? One column cost 44,000 denarii. One column. And the stonecutter who made that column was paid 2 denarii a day. It took 22,000 days to make one column. That's 67 years. One man worked 67 years to make one column. Why? Because more than anything else in the world, he wanted to hear the word of God. 67 years. And I can't get up 10 minutes early to read this book. What's the matter with me? This was all demonic. And people were willing to commit years and years and years of their lives because they craved one sentence from the God. And you sit, and so do I, with 20 of these at home. And we can't find the time even to break it open. We let the pastor do that for us on Sunday morning.
The Bible says, these are the oracles of Almighty God. He expects you and me to be asking the question of this book. And I maintain, given the picture of the culture, God is expecting a hunger, a craving for His Word that would rival and outdo the hunger that led one stonemason to spend 67 years making one column. And I'd like to suggest that the devil continues his demonic counterfeit, except this time, instead of having one of these where people go to hear their horoscopes, the devil has convinced us that we can't understand this book anyway, that all we need is the basics of John 3:16, that the pastor will do it for us, that if we get the right devotional book, it'll explain it all. And the average one among us knows almost nothing and has very little craving to know any more. Tell me you would walk 900 miles to read one sentence. I don't criticize you. I look at myself. These are the very words of God. He's entrusted them to you. No livers. He always gives you His words. You carry the entire oracle, every last sentence that He's ever intended to speak. It's yours. And you are to your world. I am to mine what this was to its world. How hungry are you? 67 years. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never. All humanity are like the grass, their glory like the flowers. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is forever. Before God, I challenge you this morning as He has challenged me. If you want to get back to the Jewish roots of your faith, read the book. I'd like to suggest that once a year is maybe a beginning. People say, where do you get the hunger for the Word? It comes from the Word. The pastor can't give it to you. I can't give it to you. Going to Turkey can't give it to you. The hunger for the Word comes by being in the Word. And you say, but I don't understand it. Maybe you don't right now. God will deal with that. These are the very words of God. Do the Jews have any advantage, Paul said? Yes, they have been entrusted with the oracles of God. When you speak, Peter writes, in a public setting, speak with the oracles of God. Flavor your speech. What do you think would happen to Park Church or whatever community of faith you are part of, if the congregation would phone the pastor several times a week saying, we pray for you because we are so hungry for the Word, We're praying that God will help you to see something that will feed us this week. If you would phone the elders, the deacons of the church, and say, we're reading intensely in our Bibles, and we're praying for you to lead us. These are the very words of Almighty God. Here. They're yours. Pray with me. Father, I must confess, and if others identify with this sin, maybe I can confess for them, that I have treated your word often like a textbook, like a book that you can take or leave, like a book that's only used occasionally. Humble me, us, as we dig into that word, even when we don't fully understand it or even understand it at all. Create within us a fire, a hunger that would lead us to be willing to put the effort in that these folks put in to hear something phony. And for those of us who call ourselves the followers of Jesus, humble us this week by someone we meet who asks us a question that we can't answer because we don't know the book. Drive us back to the roots, the very words of God. In Messiah's name, amen. Please stand. I'd like to have you recite two scripture passages after me so that the Word of God speaks last. Not me, not you, but the Word. Say these words after me. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of the Lord stands forever. If I say, I will not mention him again or speak in his name, his word becomes a fire in my chest. I am weary of keeping it in. Indeed, I cannot. These are the very words of God. Amen. As you go, know that God goes with you. As you take in his text, I pray that you would become, and I would become, text people. So that the text is not simply words on paper, but just as in the case of Jesus, it becomes flesh. That people see the Word of God living in you. Yivarechacha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavalecha vihunecha. Isa Adonai panavalecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of the Messiah, amen.
We trust you have been blessed and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about our ministry, you can find us on the web at www.followtherabbi.com. Thank you for your continued prayers. and may God bless us as we serve Him together.